You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311. You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311. You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
And here we are at segment number 4 for today on the 6th of February, 2023, day 9 of continued coverage. Let's go to the courtroom.
Please be seated.
As counsel may recall from during jury selection, Juror 957 expressed a concern about being here if the trial goes too long, and he mentioned 3 weeks as his limit. So he's brought that to my attention, and he's 729? Juror 729. So he's brought that to my attention, and he's pondering the issue, so. Bring you all up to date on that issue. Ready for the jury?
I just wanted to raise one issue.
All right.
It doesn't relate to this witness, but the next group of witnesses the state intends to call relate to this blue rain jacket, and that it was seized as a result of a search at Ms. Libby Randolph's, Murdaugh's house, and it was found in the closet. Based on what this witness had previously shared with law enforcement, there's no evidence that we've been provided in discovery that connects the defendant with this blue rain jacket. And so we'd move to exclude any evidence of the blue rain jacket unless they can represent to the court that they have any witness who connects the blue rain jacket with this defendant, Alec Murdaugh. Thank you.
All right. From the state?
I don't think it.
Your Honor, she has identified a vinyl blue in that closet, which she says was consistent with what she saw Alex Murdaugh coming into her house with. She said, yeah, that looks like it. There's some questions that were asked by the defense, which I'm going to ask her about now. She is asked about a shirt or something else, but she, I believe, it's testified, yeah, that is consistent with the color in the vinyl that I saw that's in the closet.
All right. Well, let's bring the jury. All right, thank you. You may proceed, Mr. Meadows.
Your Honor. Mr. Smith, do you remember being interviewed by Patrick McDavid and Robert Purcell that worked with Mr. Harpulian and Mr. Griffin in October, on October 20th of 2022?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe Mr. Griffin had asked you about some shoes in response to our questions. Do you remember telling them that he had, these investigators, he had on some cloth-like shoes?
Yes.
And I believe Mr. Griffin asked you about the length of time you were there. Do you remember these investigators asking you about the length of time that Mr. Murdaugh was at Almeda the night of June 7th?
Yes.
Objection, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
It's, he's offering a prior consistent statement, and no one's in, I don't know why, not impeaching her with it. You can't bolster her testimony with prior consistent statement.
Mr. Meadows?
I believe he had questioned the 30 or 40 minutes and was questioning whether or not Alex asked her to say that. Through their investigators, it's clarified for me their conversations that directly contradict what she said early on direct that I have through their questioning and interviews, which I just got a little while ago.
All right, Mr. Griffin.
Again, he's offering a prior consistent statement. And it's not admissible unless it's being offered to rebut a claim of recent fabrication. And that's not the situation we have here.
We'll offer the entire statement right now.
In objection to the statement being entered into evidence.
Yes, Your Honor, it's not a statement. There's a whole 30-minute audio recording. Yes.
All right. Rule 613B addresses this issue, and you may proceed. The objection is overruled.
Mr. Griffin asked you the length of time that Mr. Murdaugh was there when these investigators questioned you in October of 2022. Do you remember them asking you about how long he was in the kitchen and in the room with Ms. Murdaugh?
Yes.
And do you remember them asking you about, and he asked you on cross whether it was unusual, whether Mr. Murdaugh had visited that time of night. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember telling the investigators that he would not come on your shift after 8 o'clock? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And that was unusual?
Yes.
And do you remember one of them questioned you? You actually registered it in your mind that something, that this is unusual for him to be here that time of night? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Was your answer, yeah, because I was like, yeah, to be honest, I was like, oh, why are you here this time of night? Why are you here this time of night, you know? Because we all going to bed?
Mm-hmm. This is my mind.
Yes. And as far as the length of time, do you remember them asking you how long? And you said it was about 20 minutes?
Yes.
You know, and I'm trying to speed this up. Maybe for some donuts. Do you remember, when Mr. Griffin asked you about your recollection as to what Mr. Murdaugh said you ask you about the 30 to 40 minute period. Do you remember that? Remember just a little while ago when he was asking you about that? I'm not trying to be, just a little while ago.
Yes.
Okay. About whether if anybody ever asked you if I was here or not?
Yes.
And do you remember that they, his investigators, asked you if SLED had put that in your mind?
No.
Is that the recollection or something they put in your mind?
He's leading the witness. He's publishing a document that is not a certified transcript of anything. Object.
Mr.
It's their statement they took.
I sustain the objection.
Did Alex Murdahl ask you to tell somebody how long he'd been there?
He said if someone asks you, I mean 30 to 40 minutes. That's what he said.
He said if somebody asks you.
Yes.
Just repeating her answer.
Mr. Meadows?
Is that the answer you gave his investigators?
Yes.
Back in October of 2022?
Yes.
Now, Mr. Griffin asked you about this blue tarp. Did his or Mr. Harpoon's investigators ask you about that when they met with you?
Yes.
Did they bring something with them? Do you remember them showing you something?
No, a picture.
Okay. Did they also show you a tarp?
Yes.
Okay. Did they tell you they just got it from Kmart?
Yes.
Okay. Just bought it from Kmart. And I can't.
Yes.
Okay. So their investigators brought this with you to the interview.
Yes.
And showed you this, correct?
Yes.
Right. And had you already described a who'd you first tell that there was something that the defendant may have been holding in his hand? Who'd you tell first? When he came in that morning after the funeral, who did you tell that first to in law enforcement? That the defendant may have been holding something or was holding something when he came in?
Dango, Officer Dango.
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 Okay. And as a result of that, Sled came and interviewed you?
Yes.
Okay. And then you then told them what your testimony's been?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So in October 22nd, when their investigators came, they were asking you about what you talked about to Dango, right?
Yes.
Okay. And they showed you this, right?
Yes.
And did they also ask you about if you'd seen a shirt? Do you remember when they asked you if you'd seen a blue shirt?
Yes.
What was a blue shirt?
It was a blue.
I don't know. What was it? Just like a dress shirt or a shirt? What was it?
Like a rain jacket or something, like a pullover.
Okay.
Something.
But they described it as a shirt?
No. Not as I can recall.
Do you remember them asking you, you're positive it wasn't a shirt?
Yes.
They asked you that?
Yes.
And your answer was it's vinyl. It was a vinyl, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, don't lead the witness.
And Mr. Griffin was asking you about the vinyl, whatever.
Do you remember them asking you if there could have been a gun in it as investigators?
I can't recall. I can't remember.
Last question, Judge. Can I have that picture? State's 411, Ms. Shelley. You've identified this previously. Does that look like the blue vinyl garment he was carrying in?
Yes.
Say that again.
Yes.
Was it all crumbled up in his arms?
It was balled up, yes.
Balled was
up.
It folded out?
No, it wasn't.
Was he wearing it?
No, he wasn't.
That's all. Thank you.
By the defense.
Ms. Smith, it's clear when you left the next morning, you saw the blue tarp laid out on Ms. Libby's retirement rocking chair, correct?
Yes.
And it was not a rain jacket, was it?
No, it wasn't.
It was a blue tarp, like what's in here is in evidence 86, right?
Yes.
No doubt in your mind?
No doubt.
Now, our investigators, let me ask you, Mark, for identification, exhibit 87, did they show you a picture of this rain jacket?
Yes.
Had you ever, and you told them you never seen that rain jacket, right?
Correct.
You know, I would introduce exhibit 87 in evidence.
Without objection.
Can I put it up here? While they're working on that, Ms. Smith, did anyone speak to you over lunch about your testimony?
No.
Did you talk to any SLED agents or anybody at the AG's office?
No.
Okay. Full size. Yeah, let's see if we get the whole picture in there. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Doug. Have you ever seen this rain jacket before?
No.
Did Alec Murdoch have that rain jacket with him when he came in to the Ms. Libby's home on the morning, I believe, a few days after the funeral?
No.
Okay. And if this photo, exhibit 41, states exhibit 41, can you see this blue thing wadded up?
Yes.
If that is, in fact, the photo of the rain jacket that we just looked at, would your testimony be you've never seen that garment folded up in that closet before?
No, only thing I seen was blue velvet. That's, I didn't know it was a raincoat or not. It was balled up.
So you, well, had you ever been in this closet before?
No, I haven't.
So you don't know what that is folded up there, do you?
Correct.
And so If it's this rain jacket, if that's what's in that closet, you've never seen Alec Murdoch with this garment before, have you?
No, I haven't.
All right. Now, just very briefly, I know you've been really good here. I know this has been a hard day, and we appreciate you being here. That day when you came to work, Mr. Randolph Murdoch had been put back in the hospital. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And that was unusual because he'd just gotten out of the hospital like a day before, right?
Yes.
And so it was, although it wasn't usual for Alec Murdoch to come over that night, but this was an unusual day because Mr. Randolph had been put back in the hospital. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. That's all the questions I have, Your Honor.
Thank you, ma'am. You may step down. You may call your next witness.
The state calls Kristen Moore.
Raise your right hand. Do you affirm your testimony about you of the court in this trial shall be the truth of what you got?
I do.
Take a seat in the witness stand. State your name again for the record. Spell your last name.
Kristen Moore. M-O-O-R-E.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you tell the jurors where you work?
I work for the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division.
And Agent Moore, you might need to pull that microphone a little, speak up so we can hear you, make sure to hear you out here. Thank you. And what do you do with SLED?
I'm a special agent assigned to the crime scene unit.
And did you have an occasion to become involved in the investigation of the murders of Paul and Maggie Murdaugh?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Were you involved in the execution of a search warrant?
Yes, ma'am.
And where was that search warrant executed?
At 2175 Yemisi Highway in Varnville, South Carolina.
And do you know what that residence was or is?
It was the residence of Alexander Murdaugh's mother.
And who was there when you executed the search warrant?
Several SLED agents were on scene, as well as family members.
What were you looking for when you searched the residence?
We were advised that we were looking for a blue and colored tarp-like material.
And what areas of the residence did you search?
We searched the entire interior of the residence.
Let's talk about the north bedroom of that residence. Do you recall what you located in that bedroom?
We located a blue tarp inside the closet in the north bedroom on the second floor.
I'm going to show you Husband Martin, the State's Exhibit 224. Do you recognize what's in that picture?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Is that a fair and accurate representation of what you found in the north bedroom closet?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, at this time the State would move States 224 into evidence.
Admit it.
Permission to publish?
Yes.
Agent Moore, could you describe for the jurors what you found in that picture?
That is the blue tarp that we located inside the bedroom in the north, inside the closet inside the bedroom.
Okay. And what was that tarp located in?
A storage container.
Were there any items in the storage container?
There were miscellaneous dishes underneath the tarp.
After you found the tarp, did you continue searching the residence?
Yes, ma'am, we did.
Okay. And what else did you find?
We located a blue raincoat in the coat closet on the second floor.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's previously been entered as State's Exhibit 223. Do you recognize that photo?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Let me put that on the screen so the jury can see. Could you point out that closet for us?
It is at the top of the photo on the right-hand side. So the door immediately above the stairs leads to an attic area, and the door to the right of it is the coat closet.
So not this door right here at the very top of the stairs, the next door is the closet we're talking about.
That's correct.
And I'm going to show you tapes 414. Do you recognize that picture?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay. And what are we looking at there?
That is a picture of the interior of the coat closet.
Your Honor, at this time I move tapes 414 into evidence.
No objection.
So admit it.
Now, Agent Moore, if you could you point out the blue raincoat or tarp-like material that you found in this picture?
It's in the back of that photo behind the white box. Towards the bottom.
And if you don't mind, would you mind stepping down and pointing that out to the jurors? Okay. Would you come down to the big TV? Thank you.
It's right here.
Okay, let me take this. So, and that's how you found the raincoat?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Jammed down in that closet?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you look at this picture, it appears there are other items of clothing that are hanging up?
Yes, ma'am, there was.
But the raincoat is balled up down there?
That is correct.
And what did you do when you located that raincoat?
We documented it with photographs, and then we collected it in a brown paper bag, which was dated, sealed, and initialed.
I'm going to show you States 225, which I believe the defense has an objection to.
Your Honor, if it's the raincoat, it's already in evidence. And the photo of the raincoat is in evidence. I don't know why we need another photo, but we do object any testimony about seizing the blue raincoat, anything beyond that, based upon my earlier statements to the court.
No response?
Your Honor, this agent's testifying to what she retrieved from the closet, and I believe this is a picture of her retrieving that item.
Objections overruled.
So, Agent Moore, do you recognize what's in this picture?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
And this is a true and accurate depiction of what you recovered from that closet?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Your Honor, at this time I would move tapes 225 into evidence.
Objection. Same objection.
Submitted over objection.
All right, Agent Moore, if you could tell us what is in this picture, State's Exhibit 225.
That is a photo of the blue raincoat that I collected.
And this will be State's Exhibit 226. Without opening this, can you tell us what is in this item, State's Exhibit 226?
Based off of the item number and lab number and my initials, this would be the blue raincoat.
Your Honor, the state would move State's 226 into evidence.
Objection, relevant.
No response.
Your Honor, this is the purported raincoat that was recovered from the closet.
Submitted.
All right. And when you recovered that raincoat, did you do anything with it besides photograph and collect it?
Not on that day. We transported it back to the SLED Forensic Services Laboratory.
And now in the closet where you found that raincoat, were there any guns?
No, ma'am.
Were you involved in any of the processing of the raincoat?
Yes, ma'am, I was.
And what part were you involved in?
On October 7th, 2021, at the SLED Forensic Services Laboratory, I met with SLED serology personnel to document and do additional processing on the raincoat.
Okay. And what processing did you take part in?
It was documented with photographs. The stains on the raincoat were then documented with scale tape and labeled, photographed again. SLED serology department then tested the stains with phenolphthalein, which is a presumptive test for the presence of suspected blood. All testing with phenolphthalein was negative. We then used an alternate light source to look for any latent stains on the raincoat. We observed an additional stain and documented it with photographs as well as scaled it. Then it was tested with phenolphthalein as well, and it was negative. We then used leukocrystal violet, or LCV, which is also a presumptive test for the presence of suspected blood, and it was negative also.
All right, as far as your involvement in the raincoat, does that pretty much sum it up for us?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
All right, thank you, Agent Moore. Please answer any questions from the defense.
Good afternoon, Agent Moore.
Good afternoon.
So I understand you went to Almeda, Ms. Libby Murdoch's home, to execute a search warrant, is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And what was the day? September?
September 16th, 2021.
September 16th, 2021. And you were looking for a blue tarp?
We were advised that we were searching for a blue tarp-like material.
Okay. And you found a blue tarp, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And in that blue tarp, there were dishes wrapped up in that blue tarp, right?
No, sir. No dishes were wrapped in the blue tarp. It was folded on top of the dishes.
Okay. So you seized the blue tarp, right?
Yes, sir.
And did you do any testing of the blue tarp to see if there was blood?
No, sir. I did not do any testing on the blue tarp.
Do you know anyone who did any blue testing on the blue tarp?
I am unaware of any testing done on the blue tarp.
You see this rain jacket in here, in this box. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And back in the lab, you did some presumptive testing. We sprayed it with phenol first?
Phenolphthalein was first utilized, yes, sir.
And phenolphthalein is a presumptive test for blood, meaning, you know, it could test positive, but it's not necessarily means it's blood, right?
That is correct.
And in order to determine whether something that has tested positive with phenolphthalein, you do another type of test to confirm human blood, right?
That is correct.
But the blue rain jacket never tested positive for the presumptive test using phenolphthalein, right?
That is correct.
So it was negative?
Yes, sir.
So after getting negative with phenol, then you use another product called LCV. Is that right?
We did. We used an alternate light source first to make sure that we had all stains documented.
Now, an alternate light source is what?
It is a specific wavelength of a flashlight, and you used a colored filter And then you can see any latent things that you wouldn't be able to see with your naked eye.
And the alternative light source doesn't tell you whether that's possibly blood or something else, does it?
No, sir, it does not.
So you use that alternative light source and you identified some area. And is that the area you tested with LCV?
We tested the entire raincoat with LCV.
The entire raincoat? Okay.
Yes, sir.
And again, that's a presumptive test like phenylphthalein?
Yes, sir.
And that tested negative?
That is correct.
Okay. And so there's no more blood testing done of the rain jacket, right?
I was not involved in any further processing of the raincoat.
Do you know if that LCV that you sprayed on the entire shirt has turned the rain jacket in that box completely violet?
I have not seen the raincoat since the processing was done on October 7th, 2021.
Okay. What size is this rain jacket?
I could not tell you the exact size of the raincoat.
Well, would you agree with me that the records indicate it's a large?
Yes, sir, it is a larger jacket.
Well, the size being large, do you know if it's large? If that's the size?
I do not recall the size.
Do you mind if she opens it up? Your Honor, do you mind if the witness opens the box up? Let's see what size the rain jacket is.
Any objection?
No objection, Your Honor.
I don't have scissors.
You have scissors?
No, I don't have scissors. I have gloves.
Yeah, you probably want gloves.
Yeah.
Thank you.
size of this, please?
Yes, sir. I don't see a tag right here at the front. You may want to put gloves on. It has chemicals on it.
Oh, I don't want to touch it then, which I just did. Okay. Well, do you mind standing up in front of the jury and show them how large it is? Is it a poncho style rain jacket?
Yes, sir, it appears that way.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
It smells too good. Do you know if that rain jacket or photos of that rain jacket was shown to any members of the Murdoch family to see if they recognize it?
I am unsure.
Okay. You did not then, did you?
No, sir, I did not.
Did you show that photo or picture, excuse me, the photograph, the rain jacket? Let me scratch that. Did you show to Shelly Smith the rain jacket or a photo of the rain jacket?
No, sir, I did not.
Do you know of any sled agent who did?
I do not.
Right. 1 second, Your Honor.
Further questions?
I only brought this up here.
Right, Agent Moore, what happened to that tarp or raincoat? Where is it?
It's in the
box.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. States Exhibit 226. This is the raincoat you collected from that closet at Almeda?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Now, when you collected it, did it have, like, this tape here on the raincoat? Where we can, you know, the white tape with the letters on there?
No, ma'am, I placed that on that.
So that was done during processing?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
And we've been talking about a raincoat, but this isn't, is this what you would normally think a raincoat would look like?
No, ma'am.
This is rather large for a raincoat?
Yes, ma'am.
When you found it, it was balled up like this?
That is correct.
No further questions for this witness, Sean. Okay.
Thank you. You may step down.
Thank you.
Call your next witness.
William McElby.
Raise your right hand, left hand on the Bible. You affirm the testimony about the Bible shall be the truth, so help you God. Take a seat in the witness stand. State your name again. Spell your last name.
My name is William McElveen, M-C-E-L-V-E-E-N.
Mr. McElveen, how are you doing today?
Doing well, how are you?
Doing well. If you would, tell the jury a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up, and where'd you go to school?
I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. Went to AC Fuller High School. Went to the Citadel after high school. Graduated there in 2017. Went to get my master's at Clemson. Graduated in 2018. Moved back to Charleston, worked for a CPA firm for a while. And now I'm in finance for a home builder.
For where, sorry?
For a home building company.
And what area generally do you currently live?
Live in Charleston now.
Mr. McElveen, were you friends with Paul Murdaugh?
I was, good friends.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about when y'all first met.
So I lived in Edisto Beach every summer with my granddad, and when I was growing up. And he was in Edisto all the time, so we just became close. Edisto's a small town. Not many young people live there, so the young people kind of stick together. We both love fishing, hanging out, so we just became good friends through that.
So you would spend the summers in Edisto?
That's correct, yep.
And what kind of things would you do throughout those summers?
Just hang out, work, fish.
What kind of jobs did you get?
I worked multiple jobs there for five-ish summers. Worked at the marina a good bit, a restaurant there called the Sea Cow. I worked at a realty company as an inspector, and at the Bilo as well.
Okay. And I think you just said that you met Paul about the high school years?
That's correct.
Okay. Tell us a little about your friendship. How did it start, and how did it kind of evolve?
It started just kind of common interest in fishing and hanging out, and then he was just a really fun guy, so we just hung out more and more, and I started going to Moselle, hanging out with his whole family. They kind of took me in, and I just evolved from there. Yeah.
So did you get to know him pretty well?
Yes, I did.
Did you get to know his family fairly well?
Yes, I did.
Tell us a little bit about Paul.
Paul was just a really fun guy, just like the life of the party kind of guy. Everybody that really knew him loved him. I don't know, just a great guy, very loyal friend, the kind of guy that's always there when you need him.
So he was, if you reached out and needed something, he...
If you're not gonna pull that mic a little closer to your mouth, sort of fix it up.
Try to speak into the microphone.
Okay.
So was he sort of a responsive friend? Meaning if you reached out to him, would he respond back?
Yes, he was very responsive.
And how did you primarily communicate with him? What means?
Cell phone normally, yeah.
Phone calls or text?
A little bit of both, but mostly phone calls. He was a big phone caller, I guess.
Well, I guess that... Tell us a little bit about Paul's cell phone use. Did he like to use his cell phone?
He did like to use his cell phone.
How would you describe it, his use of cell phone?
He used cell phone a lot. Like kind of every time he had a road trip or anything like that, he would use it to call all of his friends and just check in on everybody. And I can speak for almost all of his friends. We get a phone call from him almost every day. And then he used text a lot, Snapchat, that kind of stuff.
Was he on his phone quite a bit?
Yes.
To the point where was it very noticeable to his friends?
Yes.
Did you Ever have a chance, did you have an opportunity to get to know Maggie Murdahl?
Yes, I did.
All right, well, tell us about her. What was your observations about her or your whatever friendship y'all had?
She was just a super sweet lady. She kind of always trusted Paul when he was with me, because she would know he's staying out of trouble. She just treated all Paul's friends like they were her kids, and just a very nice lady.
And did she approve of you hanging out with Paul?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that.
About what? Sorry.
Well, did she ever comment to you about how she liked you hanging out with Paul?
Yeah, she did. She liked to hang out with Paul.
And did you have an opportunity to get to know Alex Murdahl?
I did.
All right. And what were your perceptions of him?
Kind of the same way the rest of the family, just took everybody in, all Paul's friends. He was kind of the friend group. Same way the rest of the family, yeah.
And is he here today?
Yes.
Did you identify him?
Yes. He's in the brown jacket.
Thank you. Did you ever get to go out to the family property on Moselle?
Yes, I did.
How often would you have you been out there visiting?
Probably 30 or 40 times.
Okay. Did you spend the night when you went out there?
Yes, only.
Tell us a little bit about the property. What kind of things would y'all do out there?
Did a lot of hunting. Also, probably more than hunting, just hanging out. Just enjoying each other's company, hanging out.
So you said about, what, 30 to 40? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
Okay. If you would, please. Speak up a little bit. It's okay. All right. Now to the property. Was there a main house location?
There was. Yes.
All right. And was there a secondary location for kennels and a shed?
Yes, there was.
All right. Did you spend much time out at that secondary location?
A good bit. Yeah.
All right. Describe that area for us, if you would. What was out there, and what would you do out there?
So it's like a big shed hangar that. Side comes up, we'd all hang out over there, and there's the dog kennels, and then a few years back they built the shed across from the hangar, and it was just a good place to get away from the main house and just hang out and talk.
If you were visiting Moselle, would you spend most of your time hanging around at that shed, the hangar area?
Depends. For large groups, we would have people over there more often. If it was just me and Paul and the family, we just hang out at the house.
You mentioned kennels. Were there a number of dogs on the property?
There were, yes.
Okay. Do you remember them?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about the dogs you remembered. First of all, were there kind of two different kinds of dogs? Between family dogs or working dogs?
Yes.
Okay. Did you get to know any of the family dogs?
Yes.
Who were they? Tell us about those dogs.
Bubba is a yellow lab, and then Bourbon, brown lab, and Grady is a black lab. And they were all pretty relaxed, would hang out around the house mostly, but I don't know. They were just good dogs.
Did they, and when you slept over there, did the dogs sleep at the house location, the main house?
Yes, they did. The family dogs did.
The family dogs.
Yes.
And then there were some working dogs where would they stay, the working dogs?
They would stay in the kennels by the shed.
Yes, the location. So the Moselle location, when you started going there, did it have one or two entrances and exits?
Two entrances.
Okay.
And exits.
And describe the two entrances.
So one was the main entrance that was had like a brick pillar outside, and that would just kind of go to the house and not really pass anything, go through some trees. The other entrance would be next to the cabin right behind the shed, and that entrance can kind of go multiple ways when you go in there, but that passes by the cabin and the sheds and then goes to the house as well.
And with that entrance, is that where the mailbox was located?
I can't remember the mailbox is. I believe that was at the pillars at the main entrance, maybe.
Is that the location near the dog kennels? That second exit?
Yes, yes.
Was there one exit that was used more often than the other?
We probably more often used the one by the sheds.
Did you ever, if there was ever a time where someone was leaving the house and you all were down at the kennels, what was the normal course of action for that person, whether it was Mr. or Mrs. Murdoch?
Can you say that again?
If anyone was leaving the house or coming back and you all were down at the shed area, the kennel area, what was the normal course of action for Mr. or Mrs. Murdoch if they were leaving the house and exiting and you were down there?
Typically, they would come check on us and drive by and just say hey. But
that was normal?
I would say it's normal, yes.
Did you, with Paul, were you guys close enough where you shared your location with each other?
We did. Find My.
Tell us what that means. Is this an iPhone?
Yeah, it's the app on Find My Friends on iPhone.
And what does it mean to actually share your location with someone?
Just means any point in time you can open your phone and see where all your friends are and pinpoint their exact location.
Did you do that with many people?
Probably 5 or 10.
Do you know if Paul did that with many people?
Don't think Paul did with many people, no.
When you spent time down at the hangar and the kennels, was it common for firearms to be stored down there or left down there?
Not common, no.
In those times, you said you've been about there about 30 to 40 times. How would you explain common? Was it something that you frequently see or not frequently?
I can't remember a time I've seen firearms left at the sheds.
When's the last time you saw Paul Murdoch?
June 5th, I think, 2 days before.
That weekend before Monday?
Yes.
June 7th? Tell us about that weekend.
I can't remember much. We were hanging out with my friends' houses. I think we went to a bar called the Windjammer in Charleston. But I don't remember much from the weekend.
Did you see him on Sunday?
Do not think I saw him on Sunday, no.
Did he stay at your house that weekend?
I don't think so. My friends and I were talking about that. We can't remember if it was my house or someone, one of my other friends' houses.
Would Paul commonly stay at, when he was visiting Charleston, would he crash at people's houses?
Yes, he normally stayed at our house.
But you don't remember if that particular time he did or not?
Don't remember.
How were you kind of told about the murders? How'd you find out?
So I missed a few calls in the middle of the night that I didn't wake up to. The next morning, my roommate came in my room and told me.
And your roommate is
who? Frank Chapman.
And he told you what happened?
Yes.
Did you make it out to the property at all?
Yes, the next day I went out to the property.
So the 8th? Of June?
Yes.
And walk us through what happened out there when you made it to the property. Where did you go?
We just went to the main house and just went to see the family and just be with everybody.
A lot of friends and family were there?
Good bit of friends and family, yes.
Did you attend the funeral as well?
I did, yes.
Thank the court's indulgence.
That's
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Mr. McElveen, where are you from?
From Columbia, South Carolina.
And are you friends with Wills Chapman and Frank Chapman and Will Loving? And
I am, yes.
That crowd? Okay. And so you met with Paul, I take it, down at Edisto with the Columbia group?
Yep.
And you became really good friends of Paul's, correct?
Correct.
And I think you described him as a loyal friend, did you not?
Correct.
And you became close not only to Paul, but to the entire Murdoch family, right?
Correct.
You know, there are houses that kids, teenagers, young adults congregate at their parents' house. Was the Murdoch house at Edisto one of those houses where people would congregate?
It was, yes.
And you spent a lot of time at Edisto there summers?
I did, yes.
And you spent time around Alec and Paul and Buster and Maggie, is that correct?
That's correct.
And how would you describe Alec's relationship with Paul?
They had a very good relationship. They were kind of best friends in a way.
They were close?
Very close.
And how, from your observation, how would you describe Alec's relationship with Maggie?
From everything I've seen, it was great too. I mean, nothing, I've never seen anything negative.
Right. And they like for Paul to hang around with you, and right?
That's correct.
I mean, I think you were asked about that. You strike me as someone who's very responsible. Did they like that about you, you think?
They did, I think so.
And you strike me as someone who if you're down at Moselle, would not leave guns laying around. You wouldn't do that, would you?
Probably not, no, sir.
Okay, so when you were with Paul, you know, hunting, you were responsible enough to be sure that guns got put away properly, correct?
Correct.
You were asked about some of their dogs. Actually, Paul had a puppy, did he not?
He did.
You have that puppy now?
I do.
What's his name?
His name's Goose.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
Glad to hear that. And you describe three labs, Bubba the yellow lab, Verdon the brown lab, and Grady the black lab?
That's correct.
And when you were at Moselle, I mean, these were family dogs, and they stayed up at the residence?
That's right.
Now, up at the residence, they had a invisible electric fence around the house, correct?
I didn't know about it, but possibly so.
Okay. Well, was Bubba a handful that just take off sometimes?
Sometimes.
Right. And you don't know, when was the last time you were at Moselle?
I can't remember.
Was it in 2021?
Most likely.
Okay. Were the dogs there?
I can't remember.
Okay. When you heard that Paul had been murdered, did Will Loving come down to your house in Charleston, or was it another friend's house?
Will went to another friend's, but I think he came to our house later in the day. But we had a group at our house as well.
And then you went to Moselle?
The next day we went to Moselle.
Would that have been on that Wednesday? The murders were Monday night, you know, late.
So yes, I guess that Wednesday went to Moselle.
So not the Tuesday, but the Wednesday.
I believe that's correct.
And who all went with you?
I think Frank Chapman went with me. And that might be it.
Okay. And who was there when you got there? Were any other Paul? Any other friends of Paul there when you got there?
Rogan was there, and Nolan was there.
And what was...
There might have been a couple more, but I'm not sure.
Okay. What was Alec Murdoch's demeanor when you saw him?
Just sad, crying.
Did y'all hug?
We did hug, yeah.
I mean, did he... Wait, he was crying?
Yes.
And did you go back over to Moselle after the funeral?
Yes, I did.
And were there a bunch of Paul's friends there?
There were, yes.
And can you tell me, was Alec, is he still crying, hugging all the Paul's friends?
He was still crying. I mean, there were so many people there that it was kind of a line to see him, but from the little bit I saw him, yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm second, Your Honor.
Do I have anything further?
Anything further? Thank you. You may step down. Break. Addressing the jury. 15 minutes break.
That wraps up the fourth segment of trial today in the Alec Murdoch case. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage, breaking updates, and conversations on the case. There's more to come. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.